As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research, including a suite of supplements for digestive support, handle tougher digestive problems, and larger, more complex meals with GI Guard AM, enzymes HCL, oregano oil, and peppermint oil, GI. This premium collection may help to maintain the integrity of your stomach lining and promote gastric comfort, help reduce occasional bloating, indigestion, heartburn, gas, and other normal diet-related digestive disturbances, as well as maintain healthy intestinal flora balance. For more information and to order, just go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance is an A-rated GMP manufacturer of premium dietary supplements. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today's podcast is all about eye health because we have as our guest one of America's premier integrative optometrists. She's Dr. Julie Poteet. Dr. Poteet completed her training in optometry from the New England College of Optometry. And then she went on to complete a Master's of Science in Human Nutrition and Functional Medicine. So she really brings a versatile toolkit to looking at eye problems, both with basic foundational training, but also with an integrative approach. She has served as past president of the Ocular Wellness and Nutrition Society. That's very cool because it's kind of a subset of optometry where they focus on the nutritional aspects of eye health. It's abbreviated OWNS. Owns. She also serves as a fellow board member of the BCNS of the American Nutrition Association, the Board for Certification of Nutrition Specialist. And she is someone who believes in, her own words, repairing the roof before it starts raining. In other words, a preventive approach to eye health, which I think is key. So it's a pleasure having you on the program, Julie. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Hoffman. I'm happy to be here.
And by the way, just a premier lecturer at a recent functional medicine conference, Institute for Functional Medicine and the American Nutrition Association featured her at a recent conference in Las Vegas, and she really hit it out of the park. So I want to frame this discussion with a quote from the abstract of a recent study, and this comes to us from Science Direct. Aging of the eye, lessons from cataracts and age-related macular degeneration. And I think you'll agree with some of the language here. It says here, and I'm quoting, loss of photoreceptors and eventually loss of central vision is driven by nearly all the hallmarks of aging and shares features with Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. The aging eye can function as a model for studying basic mechanisms of aging, and vice versa. Well-defined hallmarks of aging can be used as tools to understand age-related eye disease. Do you like that quote, Julie?
I love it. You know, the eyes are part of the brain. They are the windows into systemic health. The neurosensory retina is the only human tissue allowing a direct, non-invasive in vivo visualization of the microvascular circulation. We know that microvascular changes precede clinical manifestations and are independent predictors for hypertension, diabetes, coronary disease, renal disease, and stroke. So again, you know, Shakespeare said, the eyes are the window to the soul, but they are so much more than that. And every systemic disease can affect eyesight.
So. And so, and that suggests and this, that there's a bidirectional effect in terms of, diseases are reflected in the eye, but also the things that help eye health may ultimately have ramifications for a wide variety of medical conditions that cause us to have premature death and premature loss of quality of life.
Absolutely. So one thing I do want to mention, carotenoids, the beautiful carotenoids, you know, the eye and the brain have a preferential uptake for lutein and zeaxanthin. And not only does it deposit in our retinas, which are part of the brain, but it deposits in our brain. And we do know that increasing the levels of lutein and zeaxanthin has been shown to affect cognition in the elderly. So again, you know, we as functional medicine, in the realm of functional medicine and nutrition, we know that everything works together. So
indeed. So, well, you know, you get to peer into a lot of people's eyes. So what can that tell you? You know, you've got specialized tools, you know, expensive equipment. So you can actually dilate people's eyes with eye drops, and you get to look virtually into their soul. Literally that little bit of brain tissue that, you know, that is visible in the back of the eye.
Again, I think eye care practitioners, we are a bit spoiled in our ability to image so easily on every patient, the microvasculature, the neurosensory retina. We can tell so much about systemic health by looking at the back of the eyes. On every patient I see, I do a retinal photography, and I use it as a teaching tool to patients. I show them what I'm seeing. I tell them lifestyle changes that have been shown to mitigate the risk of eye disease, and I give them a why behind that. I think if patients have a why, they're more apt to make a change. So again, I use retinal photography as a teaching tool on every single patient I see. In my opinion, eye care practitioners, ODs, OMDs, should really be on the forefront of this prevention and wellness movement because of our ability to image the retina and see the microvascular changes.
So the picture is worth a thousand words. And, you know, from my limited understanding of this, there are a couple of things that you can spot in the retina. And, you know, first of all, the color of the retina signifies the degree of health and also reflects nutrition. So literally, you could sometimes see a pale retina, or sometimes you see a really nice yellowish orange color, which suggests adequate carotenoids and good retinal health.
I look at the macula. The macula is the central retina where all the highest concentrations of photoreceptors are. It's what what gives the macula a yellow color is the carotenoids, the beautiful carotenoids. Our body can't produce them. We have to get them from diet. There's about 750 carotenoids in nature. Of those, there's about 50 in our diets. And of those 50, about 20 end up in our serum. Of those 20, the eye and the brain grab onto lutein and zeaxanthin preferentially, and it deposits in our retinas and our macula. So what gives our macula that beautiful yellow color? I can't look at a macula and say your levels of lutein and zeaxanthin are great, but I can measure in my office the levels and start supplementing if they're low. You know,
that's a blood test. That's via blood test.
No, I have a machine that takes about 2 minutes and measure the levels of macular pigment. It's macular pigment.
Okay. Just by visualization. Right.
Yeah.
So in other words, you can't subjectively eyeball it and say,
No, I can't.
Yeah, but it's a precision instrument that actually measures color differences and thus reflects the degree of pigmentation or lack thereof in the back of the eye. Okay, so that's one thing. Then what can you see from like the condition of the blood vessels? Can you actually see early changes in circulation that mirror potential for stroke or heart attack? By just looking, you know, at these tiny blood vessels in the back of the eye?
Absolutely. You know, clinically, you know, you are an MD. We are seeing high blood pressure in young people now. We're seeing it so much, and it's such an earlier age. And so one of the first things I look at when I look at the retina, I look at the artery to vein ratio. And we know in a healthy retina, the artery to vein ratio should be 2 to 3. With chronic high blood pressure, we see a narrowing of the arteries. So the ratio can be 1 to 2. So that's one of the first things I look at.
That's interesting. So in effect, a clamping down of these tiny blood vessels, it's even visible through the eye. Okay, so that's something that you can see. And then there's like, I guess, what's called neovascularization. Can you explain that? What's going on there?
So the retina is a highly metabolic tissue. There is a vascular supply that supplies the retina. When these tissues are compromised, there are signals sent out that make new blood vessels grow. It's called neovascularization. And you think, oh, that's a great thing, but it's not, because these new blood vessels that grow are actually pretty leaky. And when they leak, it actually is damaging to the retina. So we don't like neovascularization. And we see this in diabetes. We see this with macular degeneration. So a lot of the therapies for these are aimed at reducing the impulse or the signals for these new blood vessels to grow.
So it sounds like you can get at eye nutrition a couple of ways. One is to improve the quality of diet. You know, crappy diet is going to lead to all manner of degenerative disease, hypertension, diabetes, overweight, inflammation. Okay, that's number one. But then there may be also specific nutrients that actually help and target the eye and thus may have ramifications for the rest of the body. So maybe let's just start with, you know, the basics that seem to influence eye health. So what's the evidence for that and what are some of those?
So Dr. Hoffman, you and I both know that we can't supplement our way out of a poor diet.
Right.
You know, having said that, because of the NIH and the NEI's randomized control trials for macular degeneration that spanned more than 20 years, anybody on the front lines caring for eyes, ODs, OMDs, it is our standard of care to prescribe a nutraceutical. And I don't know of any other professions where it's a standard of care to prescribe a nutraceutical, unless it's a frank deficiency. But for macular degeneration, which is the leading cause of irreversible vision loss after 50 in the developed world, we are, our standard of care is to prescribe a nutraceutical for intermediate macular degeneration to help mitigate the progression. And this is all based on NIH data. And this is a combination of nutrients, of vitamins and minerals, and carotenoids that have been shown to slow the progression. You know, we know that inflammation and oxidative stress both underline most, or if I can say all, chronic ocular disease. So anything that mitigates inflammation or oxidative stress is going to be beneficial to the eyes. You know, as a kind of a top-down approach, a Mediterranean diet with fatty fish twice a week has been shown to be extremely protective for ocular health. And if you want to dive a little deeper, you know, those beautiful carotenoids that are so important for retinal health.
And so I think what's fascinating about ophthalmology and optometry is precisely what you said, and I want to underline that, is that the therapeutic option for the leading cause of blindness in seniors, which is macular degeneration. Of course, there's glaucoma and there's other causes of blind, but it ends up macular degeneration takes the lead, is nutritional. And it's not because people would prefer not to take medication. I don't believe that there is a single medication that is used for the most common type of macular degeneration, the dry macular degeneration. Now there's things that you can inject in the eyeball that are for the so-called wet macular degeneration, anti-proliferative drugs that prevent the neovascularization. Okay, fine. That's a medicine. But in terms of a medicine, there is no medicine that trumps this suite of nutrients that protect the macula from progression in macular degeneration. Am I correct?
You are absolutely correct. Listen, before these NIH trials, all we had to offer our macular degeneration patients was say, hey, don't smoke.
Right.
You know, I'm going to try a healthy diet. We had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these NIH.
Maybe, you know, a tin cup and a white cane. You know, I'm sorry to be so blunt. Yeah.
You know what, David? I'm on a mission to do everything I can to mitigate the risk and progression of macular degeneration. And, you know, these NIH trials changed the way we practice, and it gave us something to offer our patients. And I have so much gratitude for the ability to offer nutraceuticals. And again, the data is still coming out about the importance of nutrition and the mitigating the risk of eye disease. So
can you take us through the history? Because early in my career, and I believe it was in the 1980s, along came this guy named Craig Newsom at LSU, Louisiana State University. And he was the first guy to demonstrate that zinc, and he gave pretty high doses of zinc, I think it was zinc gluconate, 120 milligrams, high doses, that it actually had an impact on the progression of macular degeneration. And we said, whoa, nutrition makes a difference. But that was only part of the picture. So could you give us a little bit of a history of how this evolved, and it became now evolved into these so-called ARIDS formulas that are a combination of ingredients?
Works. And so I want to take it back all the way to 1988. The first NHANES survey showed us that a diet rich in fruits and vegetables with vitamins A and C was inversely associated with macular degeneration. So that was 1988, first NHANES data. And so the National Eye Institute, National Institutes of Health, did a treatment trial starting in 1992 that is still going on, that looked at a combination of vitamins and minerals that are antioxidants as a supplement to mitigate the risk of progression. This was a randomized placebo-controlled trial, showed us that a combination of nutrients could mitigate the progression of something we had nothing to offer patients before. And so, now it is our standard of care to prescribe this ARIDS, age-related eye disease study, this ARIDS formulation. A subsequent RCT was then performed that looked at taking out beta carotene because of the risk
right.
of lung.
Yeah, beta carotene kind of lost its luster because there were some studies that showed that in smokers that it was not protective and in fact might even accelerate the risk for lung cancer. And it's actually pretty synthetic and it was a very narrow spectrum carotenoid. I guess these days we prefer broad spectrum mixed carotenoids, but they dropped the beta carotene from the ARIDS formula, right?
We did. And so a second subsequent randomized control trial was then performed to determine if adding lutein plus zeaxanthin, DHA plus EPA.
Which, by the way, are carotenoids. They're just, because this is a family of pigmented, yellow, green, orange pigments that
right.
come from fruits and vegetables.
So lutein and zeaxanthin are beautiful yellow pigments in our diet. We cannot make these. We have to get them from diet. There is a third very important carotenoid, mesozeaxanthin, that is extremely important. It is actually converted from lutein in the macula, and it's not as much found in our diet. So it's lutein and zeaxanthin that are in our diets. And this is what the NIH and the second ARIDS-ARIDS2 trial added. And what it showed us by substituting lutein and zeaxanthin over beta carotene, there was a 20% increase in beneficial effects of lutein and zeaxanthin over beta carotene. So this was huge. So now the formulation that people with intermediate macular degeneration are prescribed is an ARIDS2 formulation, which vitamin C, vitamin E, lutein, zeaxanthin, zinc, and copper.
And the reason for a little bit of copper is because if you give too much zinc, you might deplete copper. So there's just a little smidge of copper in a ratio of, 15 to 1 or something like that.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And by the way, this has been a commercial success. And to really kind of validate it, this was bought by the world's leading contact lens eye solution company, Bausch and Lomb, they're a huge conglomerate, and they now market an ARIDS formula that is extremely popular.
So they are the company that did the original formulation for the NIH. And again, the research continues to evolve. But yes.
So that's a formula. It's tried and true. It's demonstrably helpful. But can you think of any other things that might be included in an overall eye health program? Maybe some other nutrients that might augment the benefits of this basic formula.
Well, I do want to mention one thing too about the ARIDS2 formulation. The original ARIDS2 formulation had 80 milligrams of zinc. Studies were done that showed reducing the amount of zinc to 25 milligrams did not decrease the benefit overall. There is a controversy that some genotypes, that 80 milligrams of zinc is too much. So again, the ARIDS2 formula, you can get it with 25 milligrams of zinc, or the 80 milligrams of zinc.
So. Right. And I think it's something about, it's not everybody, but for some people, they perhaps don't metabolize zinc that well, and that zinc could backfire. There actually is some suggestion that, you know, zinc is one of those Goldilocks things. Not enough, bad, too much, you know, can be toxic. So you got to get it in the right range. And some people have may have less of a tolerance for really high dose zinc. Okay. So
I do want to make some cue. In these ARIDS trials, one thing we don't think about, 9 out of 10 of the subjects were already taking a multivitamin. Uh-huh. So this is not replacing multivitamin. They were already taking a multivitamin. Huh. You know, and they know that like B vitamins are extremely important to retinal tissue. But B vitamins aren't in this original, I mean, or this ARIDS2 formulation, but a lot of people in the randomized controlled trials were already taking a multivitamin with B vitamins. So,
So I understand DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, one of the omega-3s often paired with EPA, EPA and DHA are in fish oil. That actually has shown some benefits. Is that in the ARIDS formula, or is it good to boost it, take it separately for eye health?
It absolutely, 100% should boost the intake for eye health. The retina has high levels of DHA. It's extremely important. So the ARIDS trials just published recently information. This was presented May 7th, 2021 at an annual meeting, Association for Research in Vision and Ophthalmology. It was new data from the NEI's 10-year follow-up post-hoc analysis of the age-related eye disease studies. And so what the NIH and the NEI did is they took the ARIDS subjects and they did a 10-year follow-up of the trials that looked at 14,000 eyes, and they looked at what nutrients, overall nutrient patterns, are effective in reducing the progression. And what they found, this post-hoc analysis, again, this is pretty new data. It strengthened the previous evidence for the protective associations between specific nutrients and macular degeneration. But what really was so impactful to me from this post-hoc analysis was that fatty fish, not the fish oil supplements, but fatty fish was extremely protective.
I think I saw this. So the implication is that, omega-3 supplements may be beneficial, but there may be something in the fish flesh that is as yet to be identified that may be sort of the secret sauce to prevention.
Right. I think you and I both know that research on the benefits of omega-3 supplements, and listen, I have been prescribing omega-3 supplements for more than 20 years. I believe in the right type and amount, but the data is a bit all over the place.
Yep.
Cardiovascular disease, for neurological disease. But for fatty fish, eating the fish itself, the data is consistent for cardiovascular benefit, neurological benefit, ocular benefit. And so that's why I recommend fatty fish. And, you know, we do know with fish, we worry about mercury, the mercury content.
Yep.
I tell my patients, smash, right? Salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring twice a week. And the data from this post-hoc analysis shows that fatty fish twice a week was extremely protective against progression of macular degeneration. I'm just going to read you some statistics.
Sure.
What the data showed, a diet high in fish can reduce the chances of developing late-stage macular degeneration by 65% for patients who have protective genes.
Wow.
And the general macular disease population, a high fish diet reduced progression by 31%. So this is huge. And overall, a Mediterranean-style diet was hugely protective. High adherence to a Mediterranean diet reduced progression from intermediate to late stage macular degeneration by 25 to 40%. Now, I don't know why we aren't screaming this from the rooftops. Every single patient I see in my chair, every single one, I talk to them about a Mediterranean diet and fatty fish.
Right. And it may be the beneficial polyphenols also, you know, the olive oil polyphenols and other things that you derive from the Mediterranean diet that may be part of that all of the above approach. So I just want to ask you, as a clinician, I know it takes time. That's why these studies sometimes span decades. But do you believe that it is possible to reverse to some degree macular degeneration? You see patients who are in bad shape and then you say, hey, guess what? I think I see some improvements here. Or is it the best case scenario that we can sort of slow the progression, that once damage has occurred, it's irrevocable?
So what the data have shown is that increasing levels of lutein and zeaxanthin, and there's protective carotenoids, has been shown in studies to be beneficial in things like contrast sensitivity. Some studies even show a benefit in letters read on a visual acuity chart. I do know that, once we see damage to the retina, though, the drusen, the loss of receptors, I don't see that improving. My goal is to maintain the vision someone has and prevent and stop the progression if possible. But I think that thinking we're going to improve it,
that's a tall order. So really, you want to identify it very early and intervene, or perhaps, tell everyone to undertake these preventive measures, just like we, apply sunscreen to protect our skin, and we take, supplements, adequate vitamin D to protect our bones and, our many benefits thereof, that we want to begin early to protect our eyes. And I just want to also ask you, certain populations are more susceptible to macular degeneration, from what I understand, is that light-skinned, Caucasian females are at the top of the list in terms of, and especially if they have blue eyes. Is that a correct assumption?
Macular degeneration, a lot of people assume that, but macular degeneration can occur in anyone. I have dark-skinned, dark-eyed people that I have macular degeneration patients. I will say it's a multi-genetic disease. Having genes associated with macular degeneration, does increase your risk. However, it's one of those cases where, genes may load the gun, but our environment pulls the trigger. And I tell my patients, you do a 23andMe test and see, I'm more at risk for macular degeneration. You can have the genes associated with it.
But never get it. Yep.
And you can develop it without those genes. But of all the multigenetic diseases, AMD is a strong, very strong genetic component. A relative with macular degeneration, the lifetime risk increases from about 12% to 50%. So my goal is to get patients, I like to get patients that are the offspring of those with macular degeneration with no clinical evidence or signs of drusen or damage to the retina. That is when I want to start intervening. That is when I want to start talking about diet. Once we see evidence in the macula, once we see drusen, we know that chronic sustained inflammation and damage has been going on for a while. And so my goal is to get it before drusen develops.
Indeed. Okay, great. You've laid down the groundwork for our discussion in part two. And in part two, I want to, continue to talk a little bit about macular degeneration, but there are other eye diseases that rob people of vision, especially glaucoma, cataracts. Is there a place for nutrition in management of those conditions? We'll also talk a little bit about the unique province of integrative optometrists, which is vision therapy. What are the potentials of vision therapy? And so we've got topics to fill our next segment, part two of today's discussion about overall eye health with Dr. Julie Poteet. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.